Broadcasting live from the second annual Business Writers Conference, Stone Peyton Lee Cantor here with you, and no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, our next guest is Carl Weber with Carl Weber Literary. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm great this morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
So the second annual Business Writers Conference for you, what brought you back?
I just love being in a group of dozens of interesting people who are all thinking in terms of a book. I've built my life around helping people discover the book that's in them and figure out how to express the ideas and experiences and stories of a lifetime in a way that other people are going to find meaningful. So to be in a room full of people who are dreaming of doing this and who hang on every word of advice that I offer, well, that's pretty cool and pretty fun for me.
And the next step would be to have these people actually follow you around as, to be part of your day-to-day life, right?
My wife might have an objection or two to that. So
if she does, just bring the crowd in and they'll explain to her how important you are.
Absolutely. Do you have your own theme music?
I'll explain. Mary Jo, these are my groupies. You're going to have to put up with them.
I like to call them super fans. So now you did the opening keynote. I couldn't put it down. How to write a book that people will buy, read, and love. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. What did you talk about?
Well, I started by explaining that all three parts of that equation are very important. You want them to buy the book. You're not going to get any author royalties if they don't buy the book, which is why, I mean, I love public libraries, but I'm even more of a fan of bookstores. So you want them to buy the book. You want them to read the book. I mean, an awful lot of books get bought and put on a shelf, and nobody really reads them or benefits from the insights that they contain. So what matters to me most as a writer and an editor and a creator of books is when people tell me, oh, man, I read that book, and I got so much out of it. And the third piece is that you really want people to love the book, because nowadays, you know, we operate in such a competitive world where everybody's got a million things vying for their attention. If your book is going to make any kind of an impact, you need word of mouth. You need people to read the book and say, wow, I want to recommend that to all my friends and colleagues. If you do that, then you have a shot at a bestseller and having a real impact on the world, which I think deep down is what most authors want. So buy, read, and love, that's the formula for success, and so my talk started there.
Now, is it something that you can be mindful of when you're actually creating the book to go, okay, now I got to have people buy this, I got to have them love this, I need them to read this? Is it, are there strategies that you can, you know, increase your chances of success in that?
Well,
in that?
Yes. You know, it's a little paradoxical. It's like a lot of things in life. You know how, like, Yogi Berra, the great baseball player, was in a hitting slump one time, and so the coach took him aside and said, well, you know, Yogi, when you're up at bat, you ought to be thinking about your stance and about your swing and about this and about that. And Yogi said, I can't think and hit at the same time. And that's the way life is, that if you overthink things too much, sometimes you lose the naturalness that makes them come alive. So there's a kind of a paradoxical thing that on the one hand, yes, you need to be thinking about strategies to reach readers, to make your writing really appealing, to give them things that they will find valuable and exciting and fun. So you do need to be thinking about that. And yet at the same time, the writing has to come from a place of personal passion, something that you really truly believe in and feel deeply about, so that it's coming from within. So the trick in being a successful writer, I would say, is to find the sweet spot where those two things meet up, where the passion that grows from within you meets up with what people from the outside need. And if you can define that sweet spot, then you've got a shot at having a really successful book.
Now, books have been important to you throughout your life, and obviously you dedicated your career to this. Are you seeing that same love and passion and connection to books for the younger people?
I am. I think that the kinds of books that people love will always evolve, and trends come and go. But certainly I know a lot of young people for whom reading is a profoundly important thing. Book sales continue to be steady. There's always doom and gloom in the publishing industry. People are always worried, oh man, are we ever going to sell another book? Are all the bookstores going to close? Actually, statistics show that book sales have been steady and have been slowly creeping up. Even independent bookstores, the mom and pop stores that at one time were the soul of the industry, have actually increased their sales and number in recent years. And you know, going back to the 1980s, I remember when an entire generation of young people fell in love with reading because of one author, J.K. Rowling, and her Harry Potter books. Mm-hmm. That created a taste in a generation of young people for reading 500 and 600 and 700 page books. And those young people are now, you know, in their 20s and 30s, they are starting businesses, running businesses, and they've learned the value of reading, and they're turning to books that I and people like me write. So, yeah, I have great faith in the future of the book.
You're bullish on the book. And it's one of those things where the technology may change. You know, I'm sure when paperbacks came out and from hardbacks, mm-hmm. then the people were like, what are you doing?
Sure.
That's like, you know, that's destroy everything. It has to be a hardback.
Exactly.
It has to be leather bound or it's not worth reading.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're embracing the technology changes and it's opening up in your mind a whole new world of readers.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we were just talking, you know, over breakfast about the internet and the incredible flood of material that that makes available to all of us, which is a wonderful blessing because we have access to the, you know, the wisdom of the ages at the click of a mouse.
Right.
Yeah, on your phone. Exactly. What happens, I think, when new technologies come along is it makes you appreciate more the specific value of particular older technology. So, for example, now you have the internet and you have blogs and you have videos and, you know, there's a million ways that people are sending out their messages, Twitter and Instagram and so many other ways that people connect with one another. But books occupy a unique place in that a book is where you can explore important ideas or concepts at great depth. There's only so much you can communicate in 140 characters, as our president is now finding. If you really want to reach people in a way that's going to change their lives, there are times when you need to spend the time to tell them a story at some length and to weave out all the lessons that are implicit in that important story and then connect it to other ideas and to trends throughout history. That's the kind of thing that it may take 200 or 300 pages to do. Someone's got to devote hours to reading it. But, you know, that's the kind of experience that can change someone's life. So you don't need a book for all forms of communication, but there are certain things that can only be communicated through something like a book, and that's where books come in.
Right, and I think you're absolutely right that when something is compelling and it's meaningful and inspirational, even young people who allegedly have a short attention span and can only, you know, watch cat videos for 80 seconds or so, yeah. You know, they'll sit down and they will read that 800-page J.K. Rowling book, mm-hmm. or they will spend the whole weekend, you know, on Netflix and chilling and watching every episode of Breaking Bad, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Somehow they have the attention span for that.
That's right. And that means the challenge is on us, those of us who want to communicate with them as writers or in whatever format. We're the ones who have the responsibility to come up with a message that is really compelling and then to communicate it in a way that they will find exciting, that will turn them on, so that in the first 15 or 30 seconds, when they first expose themselves to what you're doing, they'll say, wow, this is pretty cool. I want to keep going with this, as opposed to this is boring and I'm going to move on to the next thing.
Right. And it was all three of the points you made earlier about, you know, them buying it, them reading it, and them loving it. They all come in play because once they find something they do buy and love, they're going to read more and more, and they want to immerse themselves usually in that author, and they'll be the super fan like you have at your house of people following them around, right, and reading every word that they write.
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, the dream of all of us, of course.
So now, what are you looking to get out of this conference?
It's a way of recharging my own creative batteries. I'm meeting a lot of interesting folks who are working on books and book ideas from many different perspectives. They are working in different areas of business, and so I'm learning something from each of them about their experiences. I'll probably come away with an idea or two for a new book projects that I or people I know might want to get involved in, and I'm also just meeting a lot of people who share my passion, and I always come away from this conference feeling rejuvenated and refreshed and energized and ready to go back to my computer and crank out another 500 pages.
So is that what you're spending your time doing now, is writing books? Or kind of a matchmaker in the industry?
Well, so what I do, I mean, it's really, I'm very fortunate in that my background and connections are varied enough that all kinds of assignments come to me, each one of which is somewhat different in nature, which is what I love. I'm a short attention span kind of guy in the sense that it would be very hard for me to work on one project steadily, let's say, for a month. Instead, I find my idea of a great week is when I can flit from one kind of project to another. So in the same week, I'm likely to be helping to write the manuscript of a book on which I'm a collaborator or co-author. Another day, I might spend editing a manuscript that someone else has written, but where they need some help with organization or style or telling the stories in the most compelling way. And then on the third day, I might be meeting with someone who's a really good writer, but is struggling to figure out how to organize their book, what the sequence of ideas should be, what should be included, what should not, and I'll serve as kind of a coach to them. So I get to play different roles, wear different hats, and get involved in the projects in different ways. And that, to me, is really stimulating and fun.
So now, if somebody wanted to have a meaningful conversation with you, is there a website? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to learn more about me and to make a connection with me would be by visiting my website, carlweberliterary.com. That's K-A-R-L-W-E-B-E-R. K for Carl and 1B in Weber, literary.com. And you can read all about my career, some of the books I've worked on, and find a way to get in touch with me. And if you're interested in doing a book and perhaps getting some good advice about how to make it better, I'd be happy to hear from you.
All right. Carl Weber, thanks so much for coming by and visiting with us, man.
What a pleasure. Anytime.
We'll be back in a few from the Business Writers Conference.